From the Atlantic to the Pacific, across the islands of the Caribbean, from mountain crest to mountain crest, from canyons to the clouds and into the cosmos, we're pumping wattage high and low, plus streaming worldwide on the internet and keeping you company tonight. It's the place to relax and hang out. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, giving you the latest and discussing the weirdest. We've assembled the finest team of reporters and the most intriguing guests, and that's why we are your favorite hub in a wild world. So keep it tuned right here. Well, this is a big topic this hour. We're going to talk about the mystery of dreaming and what's really happening to you when you dream. First off, I would like all of you to ask yourselves if some kind of a robot or an android came to you and said, "You are a human. What is dreaming?" Think about how you would answer that question. It reminds me of that story by the late great science fiction author Philip K. Dick, "Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep?" which was turned into the movie Blade Runner. As a matter of fact, Philip K. Dick was just as much of a philosopher as a science writer, and his stories went on to become movies like Minority Report and Total Recall and The Adjustment Bureau. In fact, if a computer or an artificial intelligence unit actually has some kind of consciousness, when you reboot it, does it have some kind of dream experience? Well, who knows? But what I'm doing again is asking you to question, you know, what we feel a very human experience actually is. So I think the best way to begin this hour is to actually go to some of the official resources out there and see what the official word is on what dreams are. And what you'll find as I read some of this material to you is that the language is always sort of ambiguous, and that really illustrates how curious and mysterious this process called dreaming really is. So if you go, for example, to something basic like the Wikipedia article, and you ask, "What is a dream?" here is what it says, and I'm going to read you some edited portions of this. "Dreams are successions of images, ideas, emotions, and sensations that occur usually involuntarily in the mind during certain stages of sleep." Now, let me stop right there and say, again, we're talking about they're saying words like "usually" or "mind." It goes on to say, "The content and purpose of dreams are not definitively understood, though they have been a topic of scientific speculation, as well as a subject of philosophical and religious interest throughout recorded history." Goes on to say, "Dreams mainly occur in the rapid eye movement, REM, stage of sleep." Now, you probably are all aware of this. There's a point when you're sleeping when your eyes start fluttering. They say that's when brain activity is high and resembles that of being awake. REM sleep is revealed by the continuous movement of the eyes during sleep. And at times, dreams may occur during other stages of sleep. Keep that in mind, because that's a point that I want to bring up when it comes to my own experiences. It goes on to say, however, those dreams tend to be much less vivid or memorable. The length of a dream can vary. They may last for a few seconds or approximately 20 to 30 minutes. People are more likely to remember the dream if they are awakened during the REM phase. The average person has 3 to 5 dreams per night, and some may have up to 7. However, most dreams are immediately or quickly forgotten, and dreams tend to last longer as the night progresses. During a full 8-hour night's sleep, most dreams occur in the typical 2 hours of REM. Goes on to say, opinions about the meaning of dreams have varied and shifted throughout time and culture. Most people today appear to endorse the Freudian theory of dreams, that dreams reveal insight into hidden desires and emotions. Other prominent theories include those suggesting that dreams assist in memory formation, problem solving, or are simply a product of random brain activation. The earliest recorded dreams were acquired from materials dating back approximately 5,000 years in Mesopotamia, where they were documented on clay tablets. Now, if you start looking at the history of how dreams have been recorded, obviously every single culture that you can imagine in the entire world has an interesting history and philosophy related to dreaming and how they interpreted dreams. But given that we are broadcasting here in the U.S., let me just focus on the Abrahamic religions, for example. We're talking about, like, you know, Jacob's ladder and all that kind of thing. It says here, the ancient Hebrews connected their dreams heavily with their religion. Though the Hebrews were monotheistic and believed the dreams were the voice of one God alone, Hebrews also differentiated between good dreams, which are from God, and bad dreams from evil spirits. And the Hebrews, like many other ancient cultures, incubated dreams in order to receive divine revelation. For example, the Hebrew prophet Samuel would, quote, lie down and sleep in the temple at Shiloh before the ark and receive the word of the Lord, end quote. Most of the dreams in the Bible are in the book of Genesis. So let's jump again, though, into exactly what scientists are telling us. What is the latest word from these scientists who study dreaming every day? Well, what they're telling us right now is accumulated observation has shown that dreams, once again, are strongly associated with the REM rapid eye movement sleep, during which the EEG shows brain activity that among sleep states is most like wakefulness. During a typical lifespan, a person spends a total of about 6 years dreaming, which is about 2 hours each night. Most dreams last 15 to 20 minutes. It is unknown where in the brain dreams originate, if there is a single origin for dreams, or if multiple portions of the brain are involved, or what the purpose of dreaming is for the body or mind. Also, during most dreams, the person dreaming is not aware that they are dreaming, no matter how absurd or eccentric the dream is. The reason for this may be that the prefrontal cortex, the region of the brain responsible for logic and planning, exhibits decreased activity during dreams. So this allows the dreamer to more easily interact with the dream without thinking about what might happen, since things that would normally stand out in reality blend in with dream scenery. So that's all very fascinating stuff, and I can honestly tell you that what I have just given you is about all we know, okay? And you can always see, like I say, there are lots of caveats, and there's a lot of room for flexible dialogue and terminology and thinking when it comes to this idea. We still are really at a loss as to what the heck is going on here. Now, therefore, let me just move back into my own personal experiences with dreaming, because I think, for one thing, as a guy who is always vividly dreaming, that the REM thing may be important, but I don't think it's as important as scientists are saying. And the reason is, I, every single night, or whenever I choose to go to sleep with my weird schedule, I immediately start dreaming before I am fully asleep. And I dream constantly the entire time I'm asleep, and I'm dreaming up to the very moment that I wake up, and sometimes I even dream for maybe we'll say 10 seconds or something after I wake up. And so I know from my own personal experience that I don't think that there's one point in the night that stands out more than any other necessarily, but there must be certain brains that are more prone to having this entire experience. Now, granted, there are certainly times when I have a dream and I know that parts of that dream are just rehashing something that I was thinking about earlier in the day. For example, you watch a movie and maybe the movie has snakes in it or something like that, and that night you dream about snakes, and then you wake up and you're like, well, obviously all I was doing was remembering or processing something from that movie. Or maybe you have something that's stressing you out in your life. Maybe you have a meeting that's coming up that you're not looking forward to, and in the dream you dream about the person that you're going to meet with, and then you go, oh, well, obviously my brain is somehow preparing me for, you know, what is about to happen, this thing that I'm planning. There are times when the connection seems very obvious, but there are other times when something certainly of a more paranormal nature is occurring. The first thing that comes to my mind is I will never forget when I was in middle school, I had a science teacher named Miss Duncan, and I enjoyed her class. She was a very nice lady. And one night, I dreamed that Miss Duncan, wearing a blue shirt, she pulled a stool up in front of the classroom, and she sat down and she said, I have an announcement for all of you. And, of course, you could have heard a pin drop whenever teachers do things like that. And she said, I have decided to move to another school. And so you're going to have a new teacher coming in here in about a month, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I woke up the next day, and it was so clear to me I think I even mentioned it to a few people that it had this dream. I go into the classroom that day. I sit down, and yes, you can almost fill in the blank here. Guess what happens? She's wearing the same blue shirt. She pulls the stool up. She sits down. She gives the exact speech verbatim. And that was an astounding moment for me, because that, to me, proved that what I experienced in the dream was some kind of stream of information that was coming from the future. And that has happened to me on a number of occasions throughout my life. I have no doubt whatsoever that sometimes my dreams allow me to tap into the future. And not only does that let you know, or let me know, that my brain is capable of doing that, but it also tells you a lot about what the future is. That, you know, the future is not necessarily something that's always going to randomly unfold second by second as people make decisions and go to different forks in the road, but that there actually are some things out there which must be set in stone, I guess, to some extent. So let's leave it right there. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to move on to another experience that I've had, which is interaction with other beings and other realms during the dream experience. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange. Do you think you can tell? This is one of my favorite piano tunes. It's by Schumann. It's called Traumerei in German. That means dreaming. And that's what we're talking about this hour. Dreaming. When you float away, when you drift into some other realm, some other place, is there anything stranger than that? Welcome back to Speaking of Strange. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's program is presented by Wright's Coin Shop. Again, the number to Wright's is 828-298-5402. During the break, we were talking about dreaming, and I said, you know, sometimes I dream about another person, and I wake up, and I almost want to contact that person and say, hey, were you dreaming about me too? Or how about this? Have you ever dreamed all night that you were hanging out with a celebrity, even if it's somebody who's been dead forever, and you wake up the next day and you feel like you know that celebrity, and maybe you even feel like, surely this celebrity knows who I am because we had such a great adventure last night. I remember I did that one night with John Wayne, okay? John Wayne's been dead for the longest time, and I'm not like some huge John Wayne fan. Why does that happen? Why was I hanging out with John Wayne all night having a fun time? I don't know. I don't know where these things come from. And that brings me to another thing to keep in mind when it's a guy like myself. I have dreams where I sometimes enter a world, and that world has its own history that goes back thousands of years, its own unique storyline, and, you know, epics and nuances and their own form of music and language. And I know there's no way that I can imagine all this. I mean, I'm a very imaginative guy. I'm well aware of what I'm able to come up with on my own. But sometimes I'm exposed to incredible pieces of music that I've never heard before. And I wake up and I think, man, I wish I could somehow capture this. And sometimes I'll actually get a little recording device and hum some, you know, dumb tune into it just to try to, you know, to capture that. But there are things that you might experience when you're dreaming that are so out there that you're like, I don't think this could have come from me. You know, it's like I was tapping into something else. And I have certainly had experiences when I have been in a dream state and I have interacted with a being of some kind. And that, you know, like a conversation or some kind of information is, you know, being passed along. And I won't get into specifics here because that would, I don't want to get into the minutiae of all this, but basically, sometimes those experiences seem quote unquote realer than this reality is. And some of you will know what I'm talking about when I say that. There's a vibrant clarity there. There are colors there that we don't have here. And there's no way to communicate to you what that means. I can't even really describe a color to a person who's never seen it. Let's say somebody who's never had sight. I can't explain to that person what the color yellow is. Nor can I explain what it's like to see colors that we don't have usually in this realm. So here's what I believe based upon my experiences, and maybe some of you can relate to this. I think that ultimately for your body, sleep is a time for healing. Because if you've got a cut or you've got any kind of little medical problem, you probably realize that, you know, if you sleep on it, then you feel better. And I think there's no question about the fact that the body heals itself while you sleep. Well, I think that the spirit, whatever that is, leaves the body to a certain extent so that all the physical resources available to repair the physical body go to the physical body. So in other words, you need, you know, there's something that's wrong with you that needs to be healed or repaired. And so instead of diverting some of that energy into this consciousness, let's say, look, this is unnecessary for now. Let's get the spirit and the conscious body out of here, and let's use all the energy to be focused on healing the body. So in the meantime, you're not quite in your body. And so during that period of time, there are some things that can happen to you. Now, I'm just giving you my belief on all this, of course. But while you're sleeping and your brain is and your spirit is sort of somewhat out of your brain and your body, your brain is sitting there and it is open to be tampered with by other conscious forces. So what that means is that your brain might simply be susceptible to another stream of information that's flowing through this vast cosmic, you know, realm. Or it may be that sometimes there are beings that realize that there's a brain sitting there in an open, vulnerable state, and the beings go down and start taking advantage of that and putting certain information into that brain. Sometimes you're floating around out there, and you're sort of in both this and other dimensions, and that's when you're capable of running into sort of strange astral beings or spiritual beings or amazing things and places. And therefore, what's happening to you is this combination of things. Number one, the brain is processing experiences that have been recorded. Number two, the brain is sitting there open to all of these other streams of information that you would usually be distracted from that are flowing through. And number three, your spirit is out there in the meantime, and a part of your consciousness is interacting with other beings and possibly glimpsing other realms. You mush all this together, it becomes such a complex scenario that this is why I don't like to try to interpret other people's dreams. I have a hard enough time interpreting my own. And if all this sounds crazy to you, let me remind you that what you usually experience, what you call your reality in this life, is a ridiculously tiny sliver of what is actually out there that we know of. I mean, the eyes are capable of seeing this tiny little fraction of waves that we call visible light. Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. We talk all the time about what's just beyond what we can see on the red side, and that's the infrared. And we talk all the time about what's just beyond what we can see on the violet side, which is ultraviolet. But beyond infrared and ultraviolet, well, gosh, it just keeps going. It just goes and goes and goes through all kinds of different, you know, we can talk about X-rays and microwaves and gamma radiation and all these things, but the available sort of ocean of frequencies that are all around you occupy an almost infinite range, and you can just see the tiniest little amount. It's the same thing with your ears. Your ears can only hear the tiniest little range of all the pulsations and frequencies around you. And you can go through each one of the senses and talk about how egocentric we are, because when we're locked into the brain that has been created in this physical body to help us function within this physical realm, well, then we're locked into this very specific set of perceptions. But if you remove yourself from that, oh boy, it opens up. And you get to experience a lot more. When we come back, I'm going to tell you about my opinion on one of my favorite subjects, lucid dreams. Okay? This is controlling your dream, taking control of your dream. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual. thanks for spending your evening with us. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. Going out to high strangers around the globe, it's Speaking of Strange. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and again, thanks for spending your evening with us as we dig into the mystery of dreams and dreaming. What's actually happening to you when you have this experience that is not fully understood by anybody? Scientists don't know exactly what's happening. Metaphysicians don't know. Religious scholars and priests and ministers of all stripes, they have an opinion, but we can't really say for sure what's going on here. Well, you know, I have a documentary that I released. It was actually a movie made from a workshop that I gave in Asheville last year. And C. Eric Scott filmed it, and in the beginning, we were just going to film it for our own archive, because I have a lot of footage out there that I just keep for my own archiving purposes in case I want to use it later for a book or something. It, you know, it refreshes me, but I don't plan on releasing it. But this turned out really well, and so and we got just got slammed with requests from people saying, release it, release it. So it's available now online. It's called The Wishing Machine Workshop Movie. And if you go to joshuapwarren.com, you can see what I'm talking about. Well, the reason I bring this up is I started my presentation by saying, once again, my whole life I've been a very vivid dreamer. And that most of the time when I'm dreaming, I don't know that I'm dreaming. But once in a while, suddenly I become aware that I'm dreaming, and when that happens, well, something incredible occurs. Suddenly, I'm able to control the dream. And I am here to tell all of you right now that you are dreaming this very moment. That this experience you're having, that you actually think of as your reality, is simply another form of dream state. And I am here to help you become lucid by first making you aware of the fact that you're dreaming and then telling you that there are ways that you can control this dream experience that you're having in profound ways. If you first open yourself to the idea that this is a dream, and this is how I lead into the wishing machine, how I believe that the wishing machine and similar tools can help you become lucid and start changing the way that you're able to control this experience that you call reality. And it reminds me of the fact that people ask me from time to time, how does one become a lucid dreamer? Moving away from the analogy that I just gave, literally going to, okay, I want to go to sleep at night and have dreams and be able to control them. How do I do that? In fact, earlier this year, I was speaking on a cruise, and afterward, a young lady from Europe came up to me and she said, I heard you talking about dreaming, and I'm fascinated with it, and I've wanted to be able to lucid dream my whole life, and I don't know how to do that. And I told her, I said, well, for me, it's sort of a natural thing, but I have seen before that there are devices on the marketplace that are supposed to help people who want to lucid dream. And I've never actually used one of these, but I've read about them. And it's my understanding that basically it's like a little lightweight sort of unobtrusive contraption that you wear on your head at night. So imagine it being sort of like a little clasp, like a hairband or something that you would put on your forehead. And at the edge of it is a little LED light. And apparently there's some kind of a sensor in here that can detect when you go into REM mode. And when you go into REM mode, this little LED flashes. Now, you have your eyes closed, but you can sense that light come on. And the theory is that before you went to sleep, you had prepared for this, and you knew, you planted that seed in your mind, later I'm going to go to sleep, and I'm going to have this little light next to me, and when I see this light, it's going to inform me that I am dreaming. And at that point, once you know you're dreaming, well, that's when you can start to manipulate the dream. So you put this thing on, you lay down, you go to sleep, and at some point, you know, you start having a dream. You have no idea that it's a dream, but then all of a sudden there's a light in your dream, and you're probably like, what the heck is this light? And then, oh, yeah, this is supposed to remind me that this is a dream. And then all of a sudden you can start controlling what's happening to you. That's my impression of how it works. I'd like to try one of these out, actually. It's just one of those things I've never gotten around to because I never really needed it. But my point is there are devices out there that are supposed to use a certain technique or method to help you become a lucid dreamer when you lay down at night. And I believe that these tools, like, again, the wishing machine or similar devices, they're helping you to become a lucid dreamer in this realm, in this experience, in this mental state that we call reality. If you want to know more about that, go to joshuapwarren.com, and you can click a link there to learn more about the wishing machine and other things. But the point of me bringing all this up is that I honestly do believe that there is a realm here that we consider our real day-to-day life, but that's just a part of the overall human experience. I was just reading to you how they said that, you know, the average person supposedly spends like 6 years of their lives dreaming. Well, okay, if that's accurate, well, then that means that still there's a certain chunk of your life that's spent in this other state. Why are you going to consider that less real than this is, or vice versa? Maybe you're in one state more than the other, but aren't they equally real to you? And if they're equally real, is it not possible that you can learn lessons from one that you can apply into the other? That if you can control one under certain circumstances, you can control the other under certain circumstances? this is all food for thought if you're into this idea of the interface between the brain and the consciousness and the way we perceive these things called dream imagery. Now, you can take all this and say, all right, well, this is a wondrous, you know, promising thing that, like, I, for example, love to sit down and use virtual reality. But there's no virtual reality that puts me into the same, you know, virtual reality you get from a dream. Okay, when you're in a dream, if you dream like I dream, it's indistinguishable from this reality that we're in right now. And so sometimes when you are a very powerful dreamer, you end up in a very terrifying situation. You have a nightmare. And that is, if you have a good nightmare, I think everybody listening to this program has had a good nightmare at some point, and you realize there's no fear that compares to a nightmare. It may be that sometimes you have nightmares because when you're lying there sleeping in this vulnerable state, and the spirit and the consciousness has drifted away, and the body is repairing itself, this energy that's supposed to be diverted within to the physical body for healing is suddenly noticed by a parasite. I'm talking about a spiritual parasite, a dark being that slips into your bedroom and decides to quietly feed off of that energy. In fact, back during the Victorian era in England, the original psychical researchers would often go do a ghost investigation, and they would bring a person with them called a sleeper. And that person's job was to simply lie down at the haunted location and sleep while everybody else did the ghost hunt. And they thought this would enhance the paranormal activity, because the sleeping person's dormant energy could be used by the spirit, and that would make the spirit stronger and more pronounced. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to wrap up this conversation by talking a little bit more about the creepy stuff, about the idea that when you are lying there asleep and you're in that vulnerable state, parasites might come around to feed off of it. And so there are some things you might want to do to protect yourself while you are in that vulnerable state. Have we gotten weird enough for you yet? It's the show that digs into the amazing, the remarkable, the extraordinary. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's program is presented by Wright's Coin Shop. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. Final minutes of hour number two on tonight's Speaking of Strange, presented by Wright's Coin Shop. Again, the number to Wright's 828-298-5402, 828-298-5402. And now coming up next hour, we call it the Dark 30 Hour. And the Dark 30 Hour, that is when we dig into some of the more outrageous and controversial news stories, not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended. So you can determine whether or not you want to stick around for that. But right now, we're wrapping up this topic, dreams and dreaming. You know, what really happens to you when you dream? And I mentioned before the break that when you are lying there and your body is sleeping and energy is being produced to heal the body and the consciousness is slightly ajar and being preoccupied by other things, open to other sensory input that is usually unavailable or at least harder to access, there may be, well, we'll call them parasites that will roam into your bedroom, depending on the circumstances, and notice, ooh, there is a large well of energy sitting here to be tapped into. Because I definitely believe that when you have a physical form, like we humans do, well, that means that there's an animalistic side to you, and that animalistic side is very crude. That means that you have to put energy into your body by taking matter and sticking it in your mouth and chewing it up, swallowing it, and then it goes through a rather elaborate process and comes out in a sort of disgusting way, right? Or you take, you know, liquid and you have to pour it down the gullet. But if you don't have this physical body to nourish and you are of a different frequency, then you probably can just simply take energy directly. You skip that whole chewing up and swallowing process, and you're able to absorb energy almost through a process like osmosis. And so time and time again, you have these situations where somebody is sleeping and they suddenly find that their body has become captured by one of these parasitic things. Now, sometimes it can be severe, like the old hag syndrome, where somebody gets the impression that there is a being literally on top of them. They can't move. They're paralyzed. They can't come back into their body. Or you have, you know, succubus, incubus type things. At least that's how it's perceived. Or you have stuff that operates in a much more subtle way. It's like one of those very creepy stories that I often tell about the lady who kept popping up, popping awake at 2 o'clock in the morning every night in this creepy old house. And she finally set up a video camera. And when she had played back the video later, she found that at 1:58 a.m., while she's lying there sleeping, this tall, dark, rather ghoulish-looking figure with a black cloak comes gliding quietly up to her and stands there until, you know, 1:59, and then turns around and glides away, and then she bolts straight up in a panic. Beings that will take advantage of you. Well, if you're concerned about that, let me give you some tips. If you believe in the power of thought, and you certainly should, because thought is what moves your body, and thought is what causes you to actually manipulate the world around you and change it and build things, then you are a person who appreciates the power of prayer. And so it's obviously very traditional to say some kind of a prayer before you go to sleep at night. That can help to place your energy field into a more defensive mode. But I'd say on a more physical level, there are two other things that I recommend if you want to protect yourself, or if you feel like that there is something that is targeting you while you sleep. Number one, if at all possible, run a humidifier in your bedroom. Because when you run a humidifier in your bedroom, it actually neutralizes electrostatic charges. And I believe after many years of experimenting and learning about spooky stuff, especially ghostly and spiritual stuff, these things use electrostatic charges in some way in order to interface with our realm, our dimension. So the more moisture there is in the environment, the harder that is in most cases. Not always, but it usually helps. The second thing is, as crazy as it may sound, sleep with some kind of crystals or crystalline structures around you, because crystals can break up and distort energy fields. And frequently, it seems like these spiritual beings, when they come into contact with a quartz crystal or a salt crystal, it complicates things. And that's because the crystals are transducers, which change the way the energy is able to manifest. It changes electrical energy into physical vibration. It changes physical vibration into electrical energy, etc. So do those things if you feel like that you are somehow, again, being targeted or victimized in your sleep. So there you have it. Who knows how helpful that was for you, but those are some thoughts on the implications, the great mysteries of dreaming, and what's happening to you. I'm Joshua P. Warren. When we come back, it'll be time for the Dark 30 Hour. Tonight's show is brought to you by Wright's Toy Shop. This is Speaking of Strange.